Alright, we start with Chapter 5, Functions of Communication. Communication is viewed as a process through which organizations emerge and evolve, and the basis upon which individuals, relationships, groups and organizations relate to each other in that surrounding. Now, when you talk of communication, of course, it is a process whereby we discuss that sender, receiver, source, goal, environment, feedback, the process of communication. But what are we trying to say out here? That when we talk of communication, our rapport, our relationship, the kind of interaction we have with our associates, the ability to convey, all those aspects come into being when you talk of communication. And they are saying, whether it's individuals or whether it's group, what is important is that how are we having that ability to communicate. Take for example, you and your colleague, you'll have had a major argument, but in spite of that, you need to work together on a particular project. Maybe you don't wish to interact with your colleague at all, but you're left with no choice, since you need to realize that the focus has to be on achieving the objective whereby the project should be achieved successfully. The project should be completed successfully. So what do? You realize that in spite of not really wanting to have a rapport, you will put in all effort to focus on the goal. Communication serves in decision making and control of the system as a whole. When we talk of communication serves as in decision making, yes, whenever you communicate, whenever there's a goal or an objective to be achieved, the aspect could also be linked to decision making as a skill. If you're someone who's heading a team, for example, if you're not consistent with your decision, people will not have faith in you. People may overlook what you say. Why? Because you're not being consistent. Consistency is one of the very important aspects of decision making. So when you do make a decision, you've conveyed it. And when you've conveyed it, it is important that you need to understand that that has been the final decision. Now, 70% of the day is spent communicating. Yes, whether you're working, whether you're studying, we spend a lot of our time communicating. Good leaders need to be good communicators. They should motivate. Any leader should have the ability to motivate. Leaders always have a vision. That vision is what they are actually looking forward to. When you talk of effective leaders, they have good decision-making skills. They have a high self-esteem. What is self-esteem? How worthy you feel yourself to be. So, it is extremely important that you take pride in your achievements. It is extremely important that you're motivated with what you're doing. When you talk of effective leaders, they should share vision, motivate, pass information. What will an effective leader do? Communicate with the others. What will an effective leader do? His way of interacting, his attitude and approach, all of it is observed by the people in his team. And those are the traits or skills which the people in his team would want to pick up. Persons who are in leadership positions have to hold a team together. Now, when you talk of having to hold a team together, what is one of the best ways ideally whereby I can have a pool of people in my team, though they may not agree to what each one is saying? First and foremost, to bind people together, I need to create a conducive environment. I need to make each one realize that it is important to cooperate with each other. Another very important aspect, that when people are working in a team, I need to put forward very clearly as to what the goal or objective is. And each one in the team should realize that the goal or objective has to be achieved. An effective leader will have exceptional communication skills. An effective leader will always motivate. An effective leader will have a positive self-esteem or a high self-esteem. An effective leader will always bind people together so that they can work in harmony. The main functions of communication: information and persuasion. Other functions are aspects of these broad functions. The most important aspects of communication: information and persuasion. What is information? It consists of facts, data, details, statistics, all the aspects as far as information is concerned. Information for different reasons. Say a college or an educational institution will have information about the students, their details, records of the students. A hospital would have record of the patient as to what his past history has been, so forth, so on. When you talk of persuasion, it is influencing the mindset or attitude of a person. See, for example, you have launched bottled water in the market. Now there is enough competition as far as bottled water is concerned. How would you ideally influence people to buy your brand? If you talk of pricing, assume it's more or less the same as other bottled water. What do you think could be your focus? You can probably say that this bottle, the material, it can be recycled. So what are you doing? You're somewhere focusing on the environment. Another aspect of persuasion could be you focus on corporate social responsibility. You could be probably focusing on the welfare of the people. So various ways to convince, to persuade. Persuasion is a skill. Persuasion ideally can help you move ahead. But when we talk of persuasion, it is very important to ideally realize that we persuade whereby we think different. We are innovative. We are creative with our thought process. Information. Modern management believes in keeping employees well informed. It's very necessary that if I am heading an organization, I need to keep my employees well informed about the latest development, if any, about any progress, about the profits made. So keeping them updated with all the information, plans, company's progress, prospects, working and service conditions. Very important to keep them constantly updated, because this all is extremely crucial for them to know. Training and promotion programs. Yes, in many organizations, training is a part of their work. So very often, training sessions are given to people who are working in that organization. But yes, when we talk of information, what is the training all about? Whom is it for? Why do those people need to attend the training sessions? How will they benefit? So giving them all the details. When we talk of information, it could be in form of handouts, it could be in form of brochures. When we talk of information, ideally it could be in form of announcements, okay, instructions. So all these come under information. Information has length and depth because it can be vast. A large amount of information is available and it moves about in an organization and in the world. Take in any organization. You ideally can have upward and downward communication, whereby information goes through a chain, whereby it is from top management to subordinate. That's one aspect. We need to develop the ability to take what we need and what we handle. When I've taken, say, a task, I need to realize that I have to accomplish the task. I need to realize that I need to accomplish the task because it is my decision. And one aspect here is that effective communication skills will help me achieve that task. The conduct of business is based on the given information containing data. Information reduces uncertainty about a situation. When I am sure that the information given to me is appropriate, all my doubts ideally shall be clarified, because The information is put forward to me in a manner whereby if I have any doubts, those doubts are resolved. The information is put to me in a manner whereby if I have any queries, I can put forward those queries or questions so that I get answers as to how I should go about a particular aspect. When we talk of information, okay, in organizations, it could be written communication, which could be information, or oral communication, that means given verbally. Persuasion. As we said, influencing the mindset or the attitude of an individual or individuals. In any organization, persuasion is a skill which is utilized. Since there is constant communication between the top management and subordinates and vice versa, persuasion as a skill is one of the necessary aspects for communicating effectively. Three factors of persuasion. The personal character and reputation of the persuader. Take for example Mr. Ratan Tata. When we think of him or when we hear, what comes to our mind? Trust, credibility, reliability, reputation, esteem. So the personal character and reputation somewhere plays an important role. Because we believe what is said. We assume that what is said is correct and we do not doubt that information. Why? Because the personal character and reputation of the individual is important. Then we talk of emotional appeal made by the persuader. When you talk of the emotional appeal made by the persuader, there's always a balance between emotions and logic. That's why the third point would say logic. Logic is, for example, if I convince you to buy a particular car, what am I doing? I'm convincing you to buy that car. Maybe you could get a benefit like 3-year free service after purchasing that car. So I'm appealing at a logical level where you feel, yes, 3-year free service after purchasing the car, it's worth it. So somewhere we appeal in a logical manner. And when you talk of emotions, there's a balance with rational and there's a balance with emotional aspect. So when we talk of three factors of persuasion, very important, the personal character and reputation, the emotional appeal, and the logical appeal. All three are important aspects as far as persuasion is concerned. Organizational communication. When you talk of downward communication, down the steps. So, from top management to subordinates, you're going down. When you talk of downward communication, message or information from someone at top management, instructions, procedures, delegating tasks, training, all these are ideally aspects of downward communication. Vision and goal. A person at top management will constantly motivate his people. He will constantly share with them what his vision is. And that ideally will manifest in a result. Because when he shares with his team what kind of vision he has, the people in his team will also start thinking in that manner. Then when you talk of downward communication, one very important aspect of downward communication is that the person at top management will always give instructions and thus the tasks have to be achieved. Upward communication, going from subordinates to top management. When you talk of upward communication, first and foremost, feedback. Feedback, as we've discussed before, that whenever we talk of feedback, ideally, what is your response? Say it has to be specific, not general. Feedback has to be descriptive, not evaluative. We do not make judgments. If I have to give feedback from a colleague, I am not going to be judgmental. I have to ideally describe, put it forward in a clear manner. So feedback ideally is a way of putting forward to the other person whatever you think or feel. It could be in relation to a situation, it could be in relation to an individual. Then the next step is suggestions. Suggestions are always put forward by subordinates. And one can be expected to be an active listener as far as people from top management are concerned. Problems and grievances. If, say, five people are working in a group, but there is no coordination, there is ideally it causes difficulty whereby people are finding difficult to approach the person in top management and explain some grievance, then it can be a barrier to communication. In fact, it is said that fear and shyness will prevent subordinates from interacting with people at top management. So you've got to realize that if there's a problem, if there's some grievance, you need to be able to interact without feeling shy or having fear. That has to gradually be done. Once you become aware that you do have this kind of reaction where you feel shy or you fear, then you have to realize that at times you will need to speak to someone at top management and you have to let go of your barriers. Horizontal communication. Communication between people of equal status or equal rank. That's where problem solving could be one aspect. Coordination, any sort of coordination for a particular activity to take place in the organization. And interdepartmental. That means there is enough interaction, discussion, problem solving. Maybe they're discussing a crisis management aspect or situation. They're discussing how to deal with any sort of crisis. So all those aspects come into horizontal communication. Now we go to functions of business communication. We have discussed to inform, to persuade, to promote goodwill. When you talk of to promote goodwill, ideally your gestures, or probably say you want to get involved with corporate social responsibility. So somewhere the goodwill of the people will actually be a betterment for you. Why? Because when you're, say, contributing to society, when ideally you're looking into the welfare of the people, automatically goodwill will play an important role. In fact, it is said that to be successful, one important aspect is getting the goodwill of people. Internal communication. Communication with the superiors, co-workers, subordinates. So as we discussed in the previous slides, upward communication, downward communication, horizontal communication. External, yes, communication with suppliers, customers, government agencies, public. When you talk of external communication, it is ideally the public. Yes, a section of them could be customers, a section of them could be suppliers, dealers, governmental agencies, NGOs. All of them come under external communication. Now, when you talk of downward communication, instructions, education and training, on-the-job training, raising morale, say if there's a recession and few people are aware that they may be asked to leave the organization, it is very important that at that juncture, the person at top management will see to it that he motivates his employees, because it is recession time and people may be aware that they may be asked to leave. Counseling. Very often it can get difficult for a subordinate to ideally share a particular problem which the person is going through. See, there's a terminally ill patient at home and the person may not be regularly at work. So it is very important to share with the person at top management as to why you are not focusing on work. So the person at top management could give some sort of advice, suggestions on as to how you can proceed. Warning. Say for example, you have not been regular to work since the last few months. Neither have you bothered to interact or communicate with anybody in the organization. So you get a warning. A warning is ideally face to face. After maybe a few warnings, it may be given to you in form of written communication. But this again could be individualistic. It depends how each organization functions. It depends on a lot of other factors. Appreciation. In terms of incentives, monetary incentives, non-monetary incentives, rewards, appreciation, verbal appreciation, applauds, all this ideally goes as far as functions of downward communication is concerned. Advice: ideally, people at top management are always willing to give suggestions, ideas, views, advice to the subordinates. So all these come under functions of downward communication. Upward communication: factual information moves upward by a system of periodical reporting. Report submitted from subordinate to top management. When we talk of report, ideally we talk here of managers. They need to know what is going on in the organization. Ideally, when you talk of a report, it is prepared for a particular purpose, because when you prepare a report, you're giving an entire detailed view as to what has happened. As we discussed, say there's a decline in the sale of the products. What is the reason that there's a decline in the sale of the products? Why is it that we are suddenly seeing a decline? What is it in terms of pricing which is having an impact on the public? Or is it the competitors that we suddenly see a dip in the sales of a product? When you ideally talk of upward communication, people are encouraged to express the views. The subordinates, whether they give ideas, suggestions, views, or whether they are doing report writing, their views are always expressed through this form of communication, which could be verbal or written. Office order. What do we mean by office order? It is a formal written statement. Now, ideally an office order is when there's a change which is going to be implemented. The change could be due to various reasons. The change is ideally something which all the people in the organization need to be informed. Function of communication. This can be done by listening to them and respecting their views. When we talk ideally of communication, listening plays a very important role. Being an active listener, most important. When I talk of listening, ideally, first the person needs to hear. Then the person will interpret. Then evaluate and then respond. When I say hear, that means I'm also absorbing, because I'm going to interpret. I'm going to have my understanding as far as what is told. Then I evaluate. When I say I evaluate, I am coming up with a conclusion and then I can respond. Ideally, when they're saying that effective communication takes place, very often we hear that if someone is opposing the ideas, say if I put forward my ideas or views, if someone opposes my ideas or if someone is critical of my ideas, it is absolutely up to me how I react or respond. Ideally, if someone is being critical of us, it is very necessary to introspect and figure out if we are actually doing correct or incorrect. Alright, when we talk of raising morale, people at top management constantly need to do this. But ideally, it is said that no one person ideally can actually bring about a change in you as far as raising morale is concerned. It is affected by all communications. It is very important that we are constantly surrounded by people who are motivated, who are responsible for boosting our morale, who give us the confidence. So when you talk of raising morale, the manner and style in which it is put forward, that also is an aspect which needs to be looked into. The special morale boosting communication must be well planned. How would I ideally somewhere be responsible for boosting someone's morale? How would I ideally be responsible for creating a positive mindset for another individual? Those are important points. Horizontal communication. Communication between people of equal status. Another term for horizontal communication, lateral communication. Horizontal communication, exchange of information, discussion, coordination, conflict resolution, problem solving, When you talk of all these aspects, advice, social and emotional support, as we said, it is communication between people of equal rank or status. So, social and emotional support. You could probably interact with the person or your colleague in this case as to what are the difficulties you're facing in a group when you're the team leader. You could probably take some suggestions, ideas or advice. You could probably take help as to how to deal with this kind of conflict and get an effective solution from your colleague. So when you talk of horizontal communication, besides discussion, coordination, another important point here would be that a lot of ways of coming up with effective solutions, conflict resolutions, and social and emotional support. When we talk of impatience or lack of skill in instructing may become a barrier. When you are instructing, whether a person is at a junior level or a senior level, having the patience to put it forward in a manner whereby I'm sure that the person has more or less understood what I'm saying. But a supervisor or a mentor must have the ability to instruct. Ideally, we say that at any level, patience is one of the core qualities of an individual. To have patience, to explain, to put forward in a manner whereby the person has interpreted and then responds. The managers, supervisors and leaders should make the subordinate and team feel that they belong to the organization. Yes, creating a conducive environment. The moment a conducive environment is created, then it becomes easier for the subordinates to work and coordinate with the team. And also people at top management will realize that since they put in effort to create a conducive environment, the entire organization is working as a team, and then that vision becomes a reality. We have wound up with chapter 5. Thank you very much.